Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. Tonight we are going to start our show with a moment of silence for all of our brothers and sisters in Orlando, Florida. Let's just take a moment and be present for them. Let's take a moment and send healing and love to our brothers and sisters in Orlando and then our brothers and sisters around the world. Dear God, there is so much danger in the world today. There is so much insanity, so much darkness and fear. Our human resources are not enough to counter the evil on our streets and in our minds. Dear God, please send me a miracle. Into every country and every home, and into every mind and every heart, may the power of your Spirit now trigger the light, activate our holiness, and remind us of the truth within. May a great love now encompass us, a deep peace give us solace. For Lord, we live in fearful times, and we long for a new world. We surrender what is to the bonfire of your genius. Refine this metal, refashion our creations. Remind us of the eternal truths. Return us to our native grace. Take back what we have kept and thus condemned. For you are mighty, Lord, and can do what we cannot. May the world be reborn. Help us forgive and leave the past behind us. The future to be directed by you. Hallelujah, for you have the power. Praise and thanksgiving as you use it to save us, to heal us, and to lift us from the past. And we accept. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. That prayer for the world is from Marianne Williamson's book, Illuminata. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to Earth 101. I know this is a more somber beginning than how we usually start our radio shows, but given what's going on right now on our planet, I think some seriousness, some contemplation, and a whole lot of love be in order. So I want to say thank you for joining us. And I want to give thanks to my two fabulous co-hosts this evening. We have Emily and Courtney both in studio tonight. We are very grateful to have them. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Leslie.
And we are here, at a time of great turmoil and a time of great trauma. And so I kind of decided what I wanted to do for this evening's show, but even as I sit here, that's already changing. Sometimes being an instrument of spirit has that effect on you. You think you're going to do one thing, and spirit surprises you and says, hey, you're not. You're going to do something else. And I think that's what's going to happen tonight. I think we're going to take a little bit of a different direction than I had originally anticipated, and we're going to talk about what it truly means to be a light worker, okay? What that truly means and how that affects you. Now, to begin, I want to try to play this meditation, and I'm going to do everything I can to try to play it in the best possible way, which might not be that great, just telling you now, because it's on my phone, it's on my computer, but I have to figure out how to play it over my phone so you can hear it off the computer, right? Yay. Okay, so let me see if I can get this to start. This is the meditation that I did today at Morningstar, which is my church home in Norman. And this meditation is one that really defines our conversation tonight. So I think what I'm going to do is I'll play it on the computer, and then I will put my headset next to the computer so that it can stream. Okay? All right, so give us some feedback and let us know if you can hear this, all right?
With your eyes closed and focusing on your breath, let's take a moment. Today we are going to travel to a magical place called Margaritaville. So why don't you come with me on a whimsical adventure and let's see just how awesome life can be. I want you to imagine you're laying on the beach. The sun is warm. You feel it warming every part of your body. Off in the distance, you can hear is just a lapping of waves. You hear some eagles off in the distance, and you are fully present inside your body, your heart, and your mind. This is a place of peace. But this is a blank place. Of new beginnings. I want you to stand up and walk through the water. You feel the warm sand under your feet. And as you make your way to the water, you feel the contrast of the warm sun and the gentle coolness of the ocean water. Take more steps into the ocean. You feel the water rising up your body, first your ankles, then your knees. It comes up waist deep as you venture out just a little further. You feel the waves gently enveloping you. You feel the stillness inside your soul and the peace of this moment. In this place, you are made anew. Your feet are responsible for carrying you forward. They are for sure footing and easy steps. The water now cleanses them and makes you very light-footed and sure-footed, and your feet now move forward with grace and ease. The water now carries all of the burdens from your legs. Your legs are the instrument about forward momentum. They are what carry you forward from the place that you are to the place that you desire to be. And you feel all the heaviness and all the burdens leaving your legs, knowing that from this moment forward, you will step forward with grace and with ease. The clearing continues, and now it's in the pelvic area, and you feel in a new sense of creativity, the ability to create whatever it is you desire in your life. Your life is filled with fertility and creativity, and that springs through you easily and abundantly. The energy now clears your colon, the instrument for releasing. You feel your colon being cleansed and made anew. It is easy for you to release what no longer serves you. The energy of healing now reaches your stomach and your intestines, and this is the place of absorption and letting in the good. From this point on, you can easily identify what is harmonious with you and what is not. You can identify what is the good to let in and what else you need to let go. The healing energy now reaches your liver, and this is the detoxification place. This is the place where we process and release our anger. Your liver is completely cleared and made anew. It is easy for you to release things that upset you and things that anger you. It is safe for you to release all of those emotions that are keeping you trapped. The healing energy now reaches your lungs. Lungs are the place we store grief. With an exhale, you let go of all that is grieving you, all of the pain, the heartache, the heartbreak, and the trauma. Your lungs are made anew, and you breathe it out fully and freely, knowing that it is now safe for you to breathe in life, to fully breathe in life, knowing that the entire universe works for you, and you are always safe. This healing energy now reaches your heart. And with divine perfection, you now realize it is safe for you to give and receive love. That's right, it is safe for you to love. It is safe for you to receive love. You are a divine spirit being. God exists in every cell in your body, and you are here as an instrument of divine and unconditional love. The energy of healing now reaches your back. It clears away all of the stress and frustration you store inside the muscles in your back, letting you gently know that you are always supported. Life supports you in every way possible. You are always supported, and you are always safe. This energy now reaches your shoulders. Cast off the burden and go free. The weight of the world has been shrugged off, and your shoulders are now light and carefree. You move them with ease, and you feel a lightness and easiness there that maybe you haven't even felt for years. Now the healing energy reaches your neck. Your neck is your flexibility. Your neck provides you with freedom to see from another person's perspective, even if it differs from yours. Your neck brings you flexibility, and it brings you freedom through this flexibility. Your neck is now untethered, and you are free. You can view through the eyes of another without worrying about compromising your own beliefs or own ideals. Your neck is flexibility. Now this healing energy has reached your mouth. Let go of any angry words or negative words, self-criticism or judgment words that come from your mouth. Your mouth is now clear for you to speak your truth, for you to speak with love, and speak with dignity. Your words are valued. If you express them, others will hear them. It is always safe for you to speak your truth. This healing energy has now reached your eyes. Let go of any judgments about the world around you. Instead of seeing a world of fear, a world of hate, and a world of anger, your eyes now give you permission to see a world of love, a world of peace, and a world of unity. Your eyes now see the best in everyone, and especially the best in yourself. This healing water has completely transformed you. It has taken all of the burden, the disconnect, and the heavy feelings off of you, and you go free. You emerge now from the water, and with each step that you take, you awaken more and more to your true self. You see you are a light worker, an agent of change, and a warrior of light. You are a healer, and you are an instrument of peace. You are, in fact, a miracle worker. In this moment, you are in your highest vibrational place. Make a note of this feeling. Note your awareness. Note how you feel. And know that you can return here with simply conscious thought. Now please take the hand of the person sitting next to you. As an individual, you are powerful. You are aligned. But right now, in this moment, as a group, you are part of a force of nature, and a force to be reckoned with. You are part of a greater good, global alchemist, catalyst of unity and peace. You are powerful, and you are ready to use this consciousness to change the world. One person can change the world. A group like this can change everyone. Now I want you to feel this feeling. Feel it. Feel the power. Feel the love. Feel the healing. Feel the truth. And I want you to send it out into the world. Expand our circle. And let's invite every being on this planet, if they so choose, to join us now. One by one, moment by moment, mind by mind, and heart by heart, we awaken our fellow earthlings. We awaken them to the totality of possibility, to everything that is possible when you work from a place of unconditional love, when you know your truth and are willing to live it. It starts right here, right now, on the Isle of Margaritaville.
Okay, and welcome to Margaritaville. That meditation was emotional, even for us sitting here in the studio tonight. It was very powerful, and I want to say thank you to everyone who agreed to hold that space. And I think that meditation really speaks volumes for us tonight and what it means to be a light worker. And, you know, light worker is one of those terms that I always hate it when things become trendy. And it almost became trendy, and it did become trendy for a little while. And then wasn't on that show Charm, didn't they use dark worker maybe or something like that for someone? Like one of some of the, I don't know. Anyway, it's been too long. But when we talk about light worker, what we're really talking about is a love worker, okay? Someone who can hold the vibration of love. And the truth is, the vibration of love is where we get the miracles. It's where we get the miracles. It's where we get the ability to create change. It's where we get the ability to change ourselves and change the world around us. And I think that tonight we really do see the perfect moment to step into becoming a light worker, becoming that instrument of change. And we are seeing so many negative and horrible things happening right now on our planet. You know, and it's really not healing, at least past a certain point, to draw attention to the negative things. You know, sometimes you have to identify it, you know, work it out, and then start to heal it. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about all the things that are wrong, but certainly some things that come to mind are Brock Turner, the Stanford swimmer, who was convicted of raping an unconscious woman, that received a 6-month jail sentence, not prison, jail, from Judge Persky in California. And his release date has already been updated on the Department of whatever that is website out in California now that says for release. And so it shows that he will serve 3 months of his 6-month sentence for raping an unconscious woman. And, you know, I spent a lot of time being upset about that this week, and a lot of time as a mother to daughters thinking about what I should say or what I could say to try to, you know, teach my children to hopefully prevent themselves from ever being in a situation that could lead to them being attacked in that manner. And we certainly have the attack that happened last night / this morning in Orlando, Florida, with 50 people killed and 53 injured were the last count I heard at a nightclub called The Pulse. Then today at the Pride Parade in, I think it was somewhere in California, the police arrested a man with an arsenal who was going to go to the Pride Parade and have another mass shooting, most likely, like we saw at the nightclub the night before. So we don't need to look far to find the things that are wrong right now. So what we do in moments like this is we really concentrate on what we can change. And we concentrate on our individual things. Because when we work on our individual healing, it makes it easier for everyone to work on healing. So lightworker is almost synonymous with love holder. You know, a light worker is someone who looks at a situation and tries to facilitate healing in that situation. You know, even if there's not a practical thing that can be done, there's an energetic thing that can be done. And so the practical things are, you know, making sure that, you know, someone who is hungry is fed, making sure someone who is sick has access to healthcare. Practical things, getting someone out of the immediate danger and getting them moved to safety. These are all the practical things we do, okay? The energetic things we do are we turn to visualization, meditation, and prayer, okay? We spend our time holding a vision of what the world would look like in a place of peace. This morning at Morningstar, our song was, it's the one by the Beatles, You May Say I'm a Dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And I really listened to the words this morning as we went through, and that song has such a powerful meaning for me. And it is about being a light worker. It's about imagining a world where everybody lives together in harmony. That is what a light worker does. And so in these moments, we have to focus on what we're capable of doing. There may not be a practical thing you can do today. If, you know, especially if you were an O negative blood type, one of the practical things you might be able to do is go donate blood. They were having callings for blood all over the country to get blood stores back up with having so many shooting victims at one time. So if you have especially a rare blood type or a universal blood type, then you could practically help and go donate blood. You could also, if you were there locally, have, you know, taken water down, food down, blanket, support, love. Those are the practical things you could do. The other things you can do is hold healing. You know, look past the moment of brokenness. So you see, the moment of brokenness is the rock bottom. It is the moment where everything goes to hell. And in that moment, somebody needs to be able to look past the brokenness and into healing. into a place where healing can happen. And that is the job of a light worker. Okay? It's not always easy. Most of the time it's not easy, but it's worth it. And that is what a light worker does. And when we're talking about ways to be of service, the one simple way that you can be of service to mankind is to always look for the good. Always look for the good. You know, that's such a simple thing to do, but it's not what you're trained to do. You know, how many times in life have you ever been told, oh, well, you're such a Pollyanna or you're such a Cinderella? You know, you just walk around seeing the good in everybody, not even seeing how the world really is. And to that, I would say, well, thank you. Thank you. I work hard on seeing the good in everybody. I work really hard on being able to find the good in any situation. That is what light workers do. That is what light holders do. And hopefully that is what you do. So being an agent of change, being an instrument of healing, being a light worker is about seeing past the brokenness and into healing. And if there was ever a time to do that, it is right now. It is right now. And, you know, light workers are called to speak up and speak out. And yes, it's true. Right now, light workers are really needed in this very hostile political climate we're in to hold the belief that every single person on this planet deserves to eat. Every single person on this planet deserves access to healthcare, and every single person on this planet deserves love. Okay, remember, every situation is either love or a call for love, and that's not easy. Believe me, that's not easy. If you ever want to see how quickly something can get out of hand, and I know it's like I've got that meme in my head, just say gorilla one more time. that meme, we saw that. We saw the absolute worst of humanity erupt with the incident at the, was it the Cincinnati Zoo, where the mother, and I've lost her name, it's not with me right now, but the mother of the report said he was 4, but looking at that video, he doesn't look 4 to me. He maybe looks 3 at the most, and he looks really young in the video. But the little boy climbed into the gorilla cage, and, you know, the zookeepers made the very difficult decision to shoot the gorilla to save the boy. And if you've ever seen a more, what's the word, viral? I mean, it went viral. It absolutely became, it infected minds everywhere. It's the best way to look at that. It infected minds everywhere. And we saw so much hate. So much hate. And if you didn't read in judgment, if you didn't read the letter that I posted on Facebook, or follow with a little post I posted on Facebook following it, you can go back and read it if you're interested. But the short version was, when Scott and I had gone to Frisco, Texas for the Jimmy Buffett concert parking lot party, we went into Target, and a lot of things went wrong in Target. And we were getting ready to leave, and we were parked in the very front parking place, and Scott was unloading everything, so I was just standing there. And I heard the woman screaming long before I saw anything else. I heard her scream Winston twice before I saw anything. So I was standing at on the outer edge of the car, and I looked over there, and the doors were open, and out was running this little boy. I mean, he couldn't have been more than 2, and he was running just as fast as his little legs could carry him. And all I could hear was the woman screaming, Winston, Winston. And he was just running. He had these little sandals on. He was so cute. And right then, this white Cadillac Escalade was just barreling through the parking lot. I went running for the boy, and I was screaming, no, stop. And the words, because it was such a terrifying moment, the words were getting hung up in my throat. And it was just horrible. And this other woman in yoga pants ran and got the kid before I could get there, because I actually tripped over the curb, because graceful I am not. And I thought about her when we started judging the mom with the little boy that got free at the zoo. And no part of me wanted to judge that mother. I mean, she was very pregnant. By the time she caught up to the little boy with yoga pants and I was standing right off to the side, she was hysterical. She couldn't even speak. She was paralyzed in fear. And her friend helped her get to the car, got her son in the car seat, and she just sat in the driver's seat and she sobbed. And it was a good 15 minutes for us to load up our car, and she was still sitting there sobbing. She was so traumatized from that. She probably sat there an hour, just judging by how traumatized she was. I don't think she could drive. I don't think she could speak. I think that that just seriously fractured that woman's soul. No part of me thought to judge her and say, hey, Mom, keep a better eye on your kid. I saw the fear. I saw it firsthand. And all I wanted to do was offer her love. And we didn't do that to the mom at the zoo. We judged her. We said horrible things about her. We called her parenting into question. Her employer had to remove their Facebook page. She had to delete her Facebook page. I mean, it's like our gut reaction right now is hate. And what is wrong with humanity that the gut reaction is hate? That's what lightworkers are for. Lightworkers are to have the gut reaction of love, the gut reaction of unconditional love. And that is what a lightworker does. And that is what I hope you can and will do, is be that instrument of love, be that person that is capable of seeing love in all those around you, because there's absolutely no power in seeing the hate. There's not. There's not any power. And we do not need any more reasons to hate each other. We do not need any more reasons to disempower each other. We do not need any more reason to be cruel to each other. It's like mankind has just mastered that to the point of a doctorate degree, maybe even two doctorate degrees, right? What we need is kindness. What we need are light workers. And fortunately, right now, we have so many starseed energy types and other energy types that are all awakening. And the more they awaken, the more they can pull themselves out of the programming of hate, and the more they can step into that light worker role. And eventually one mind frees the next, one heart frees the next, and we will create a world where everyone thrives, where everyone is powerful and empowered, where everyone chooses love over hate and chooses love over fear. Clearly, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but I do think it can happen, and I do think it starts with a lightworker, someone holding the energy of healing. And so if you come away from this show with nothing else tonight, come away with the decision that you're going to at least start to see yourself with kinder eyes. You're going to choose to not be so critical of yourself. You're going to give compassion to yourself, the way you see yourself, the way you talk about yourself, the way you judge yourself. You're going to really start to pull in that love, to pull in that peace, because that is where our power is. That is where we move forward with grace. So want to talk just for a few minutes also, because last week we finished up karma, okay? Had lots of great feedback from last week's show. You know, karma, karma, karma. How awesome is karma, right? It's always there, and it's always just kind of waiting to show us the truth of any situation. So there's what I wanted to talk about is the energy of the other universal laws and how they come into play. So we've talked about the law of attraction in many of my radio shows. We've talked about the law of attraction. We've talked about the law of karma. Okay. Now I want to talk about the law of divine exchange. Okay. It's a lesser known one. I used to have a little book sitting right here that said the law of divine exchange, but maybe I took it to the office. I don't know. I think I need every book I own in duplicates now. So I can have one at home and one at the office. But the law of divine exchange, what this says is that for every transaction or every exchange to be honored and valued by the universe, there must be an exchange of energies. Okay? Sometimes this is money. So if I want groceries for the week, I'm going to go to my grocery store, I'm going to fill up my buggy, and then to honor the law of divine exchange, I'm going to give them little pieces of paper with numbers written on them, right, because that's all money is. And the amount of to be equal to the food I'm going to leave with. That's the law of divine exchange. It says that in order for me to be in harmony with the laws of the universe, I have to give the grocery store something in exchange for the food that they're giving me. Okay. Now, if you do not feel like you are getting the appropriate, the correct rate of exchange for something in your life, be it your job, or be it a hobby, or be it your relationships, then you're out of balance with the law of divine exchange, okay? You're out of balance with that. So let's use, I mean, job is the really obvious and easy one, so I guess let's do that one first. There's a reason why different jobs pay different rates. Now, I'll start this off by saying I believe everybody deserves a livable wage. If you go to work, you should have a livable wage. I completely support that. I think that it is a great injustice in this country that we have people working full time that are living below the poverty rate, but we're not going to tackle that today. Okay. So, but what this says is that the more value in the perfect world and in harmony with the law, the more value you provide for that job, the more value you're going to get back in exchange. Okay, this is so out of balance in our country, but it shouldn't be. You know, we shouldn't have it so out of balance. And what this says is if I went to school for a very long time and I became a doctor or I became an attorney, then my rate should represent that, should represent the amount of schooling and the amount of the education and training that I have, because that's fair. That's what I'm worth. Okay, and you know that if you find a really good doctor, they're probably not taking new patients because they already have their quota of people willing to pay them what they're worth. They're full, right? And the same thing, by the way, with good private schools and daycares. They can charge almost whatever they want, and parents are willing to pay it because of what they get back in return, what they get back in return from that. So there is this law of divine exchange. Same thing with really good hairstylists. You know, you can go to one of the places where they cut your hair and you pay a fee to the studio or whatever, salon, or you can go to a private contractor, you know, an independent beautician. Is that the right word? Hairstylist. And if you're paying, you know, $8 for a haircut, you know, for a female, it might be an $8 haircut versus a $40 haircut is what I'm trying to say. It's not necessarily you get what you pay for because people get ripped off all the time, but it is being in balance with the law of divine exchange. Okay, so now let's put that in context of other ways. So if you are seeing a counselor, okay, and you're paying that counselor, you want the money that you're paying to be fair to the quality of the service that you are receiving. Okay. I mean, this is really easy to see in the intuitive world where I live, but I also see it's really out of balance in the intuitive world, you know, where I am. Really good intuitives. Before Sylvia Brown went to Spirit, a friend of mine did a session with her and paid $5,000 for a session. And, you know, I just thought that was really out of balance in my opinion. But if that's the price that she thought was fair and she was willing to pay it, it's not my place to judge, even though I wouldn't do it. Okay. And I know a lot of intuitives that are at least $500 an hour, and because they believe that they're giving service that is equal to that, they have people willing to pay it. You know, I try to be a little more reasonable on my fees, but the truth is that if you provide the service that is worthy of your fee, then it is in balance for you. Okay? It is in balance for you. Look at Emily has a jewelry business, and she wants to be compensated fairly for her creations, right? She's nodding. You can't see her, but she's nodding, right? You know, and Courtney works in the medical field. She wants to be compensated for what she does. She sees sick babies all day. You know, ear infections and
one ear infection at a time.
That's right. Saving the world one ear infection at a time, this nurse practitioner says. So we want it to be fair, okay? And the only person who can truly determine if it's fair is you. Now let's look at relationships. Okay, relationships should also fall under the law of divine exchange. That means that we're both givers and we're both receivers. It's not always one is giving and one is receiving. Why? Because that's out of balance. I promise you the one always doing the giving will end up being resentful. Promise you. And I know because for years and years and years it was me. I was always the giver and it was totally on me. I would not receive. I only was comfortable being the giver. It's only been in the last, you know, really couple of years that I've been able to be a gracious receiver. And I woke up every day for like 3 years and I said Louise Hay's affirmation, I am a gracious receiver. I am open and receptive to all good in the universe. Affirmations work. And so it has to be in balance. There has to be the exchanges that feel fair. Same thing in relationships like marriages. You know, I mean, really at the heart of almost any marriage that has broken up, it's because the relationship wasn't in balance. Someone was doing way too much giving and someone was doing way too much receiving. Okay, now there's ebb and flow to this all the time. So you'll have, you know, sometimes it'll still be in balance even if person A is receiving only for 6 months, then it balances out with person B. But relationships, in order for them to be harmonious, the law of divine exchange must be appreciated. It must be lived. This affects every relationship that you have. You must have an exchange, a fair exchange, a divine exchange in every relationship. So if you're always cast in the giver role, if you're always the one doing the giving, you're always the one doing the giving, then you have to do something to reset your vibration. My thing I did is every day for several years, I said, I am a gracious receiver. I am open and receptive to all good. Okay, and that's not always easy. I mean, I can tell you, looking back early on of all the trades I did for sessions, I have so many ridiculous credits all over. I have facials that are due to me. I have a dress store that owes me several dresses that's no longer even in business that I never went to collect. I have credits for all these sessions that I just wasn't comfortable back then receiving. I would give the session, but I wasn't comfortable receiving.
But then what happens to that energy when you have that stop thing? I mean, I know it puts you out of balance, but then what happens?
Well, it puts you out of balance until you work on bringing it back. So all that work on I'm a gracious receiver, I'm open, receptive to all good, it helped to bring it back. Now, the way the universe works is in order – I could receive that good from another source. You know, it's from the universe. Doesn't mean that relationship was in balance, but the universe can make it right by helping me receive through some other way.
And then what happens when you only get back what you put in? So let's say somebody was going to give you something that was equal value to what you gave them, mm-hmm. but because you weren't willing to receive it, were they still able then to reap the benefit of it?
Yes. If you didn't hear what Courtney just asked, she said, so what if someone gave you something of value and you weren't able to receive? Wait. Person A gave person B something of great value, but person B was not in a place of receptivity at the time. If you're working on being in balance, that will become good karma points, where at a later date you can receive those. And, you know, I operate from always from a place of good karma points. And so, you know, the universe can truly make any tally even if we let it. It really can. But sometimes we get too hung up on it has to be made right through this avenue and only this avenue when the universe is saying, well, you know, that avenue is blocked, but I can make it right over here, you know. And I'll go back to the Marianne Williamson A Return to Love workshop that Courtney and I were listening to for many months. And there was a man named Greg who was talking about his brother had stolen $18,000 from him. And it got to the point where he was obsessed with it. He was angry with it. He was envisioning his brother being put in the hospital, being beat up, all these bad things happening to him.
And he had gone to an attorney and had just paid a $5,000 retainer to try to get this money back through court. And as he said, right before it happened, Greg said he heard God speak and say, your brother did not steal $18,000 from you. He stole $18,000 from me, for I am your supply. And in that moment, he saw his brother. He saw how fearful his brother would have to be to make him steal the money. And so he let the lawsuit go, and he let it go. And the $18,000 in that capacity was returned to him many, many times over, just not from the brother. The universe made it right by returning the prosperity to him, because he was open to prosperity and however it came in. Did we get this idea that we have to micromanage how the universe, how God works, and we don't? If we surrender it and just say, okay, you know, this looks like I've had stuff taken from me. I know that I'm always whole in your eyes, and I know that it's always good. So, okay, God, I'm just going to let you make me whole here however you can. And when we don't micromanage God, we see miracles.
Well, she says, God's plan works, yours doesn't.
Yes.
She says that in almost every one of her.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the chat room. I was going to find it.
Marianne says that. She said, just remember God's plan
works. Just remember God's plan works, and yours doesn't. Thus says Courtney via Marianne Williamson. Channeling Marianne Williamson tonight. Woo. Yes, and I do recommend that. That Return to Love workshop is one of the most healing and empowering things I've ever listened to. It truly is magnificent. It is just amazing. So I do recommend that
on the Audible
and on things
any
to listen to. Any of hers on Audible, yes, but that workshop
is particularly
powerful. And so this idea of divine exchange says that, you know, there must be an exchange of energies. And so where does that, you know, I trade for all kinds of things. I trade for my hair. So, you know, I trade with a stylist that I like a lot, so I never actually pay for my hair to be done. I trade sessions with her. I have another friend that owns a little restaurant that we trade with, and then I have a friend that owns a great restaurant down in Noble. One is kind of a little bakery, and the other one's a big comfort food place, and I trade with her so that I can go out to eat and have that really good comfort food when I want. So I trade with a lot of people. And in those instances, this is divine exchange. I am happy with my end of the bargain. I'm thrilled with my end of the bargain. I'm getting something that I want. And in exchange it is. Now, before, I always felt like I had to do every trade offered to me. And, you know, that's really why I didn't take all those other trades up, you know, for the facial or the massage or whatever it was. It's because I really didn't want what was being offered. If I want what's being offered now, I will engage the trade. And if I don't, then I won't. Now, having done this for a while, and I have, this is going to push buttons. And I know that right up front. And what I'm going to ask is that you just let it push the buttons. And know that means there's something here to heal, okay? I've been doing this long enough that I can tell you emphatically that if I just gift someone with a session, it is highly unlikely anything will change. You can make all the promises in the world, and I mean that, and you can absolutely mean it when you make those promises. All the promises in the world. But if you are completely gifted that session, there is very little chance you're going to benefit from it. Why? Because you're not invested in it. You're not invested in it, plain and simple. And so the clients that, you know, in the past that I've gifted sessions to because, you know, they were in such difficult places, it's rare. It is an absolute rarity that they take the intuitive guidance, the energy work, the homework, the entire package, and they take it and run with it. But if you're paying for that session, you are far more likely to do the homework. You're far more likely to listen to the guidance, because otherwise it's just something you did that didn't cost you anything, so why should you take it seriously? And that's triggering because I probably get, I mean, depending on the week, I've had as, you know, as few as, you know, maybe five requests for free sessions a week, but I've had as many as 100 in a week of people begging me for free sessions. And, you know, the truth is if I won the lottery tomorrow, I'd probably still do this because I love it. But I don't know that I would be giving all the sessions away. You'd have to require some type of token payment. Otherwise, people would not benefit. You must be willing to invest in it, invest in yourself, and you must be willing to honor the law of divine exchange. Anything else is not in harmony in the universe. So also what this means is when you want to help somebody, you have to be willing to see what you're going to get out. Now, all of us want to help people just because it makes us feel good. That's different than what I'm talking about, okay? That's that good karma stuff, you know, where you help someone and you have no expectations. Give without expectations, Dr. Wayne Dyer always said. Give without expectations. That's different than what I'm talking about with the law of divine exchange. The law of divine exchange really relates a lot to your income and to your sense of worth, okay? Now, giving without expectation, I love if you've never listened to Dr. Wayne Dyer's, I believe it's Secrets to Manifest Your Destiny. It's one of those audio sets, it's multi-disc. It really is fantastic. It really is. And in one of them, he's talking about walking down the street with like some producers from maybe either a TV show or something that he was doing. And he saw a young woman that was, begging and asking for money. And he reached into his pocket. He had a $100 bill and he just gave it to her. He said, here you go. God bless you. And the people he was with turned to him and said, I cannot believe you just gave her $100. How could you? She's just going to go and she's going to buy alcohol with it. Or she's going to go and blah, 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 blah. And Wayne Dyer looked at him and very respectfully and in a quiet voice said, I give without expectation. Once I gave her the money, I have no expectation of what she does with it. It is hers. It is not fair for me to say what she can or cannot do with her money. In the moment I gave it to her, it was hers. That's a really difficult place to get to when you're giving money, because we want to tell people to use it to change their lives with it, right? But the truth is, if you choose to give in this capacity, you must give without expectation. You must give freely and fully, knowing that, you know, if the person... We have a problem in Oklahoma with the issues with the panhandling, you know, the people holding the signs. And are they honest? Are they dishonest? There's been all these investigative reportings, anonymous. Some of them have found to be making $30,000, $40,000 a year, you know, begging on the side of the road. There have been people that have offered to give them rides to homeless shelters, and they turn them down. There's all kinds of conflict around them. And if I am in a place where I can safely give someone money that's holding a sign that says hungry, meaning I'm not going to get hit in the road or something like that, and I have, you know, cash with me, I almost always will give it to them. Why? It's because I would rather be wrong, okay, and have them be fine financially and have it just go to buy, you know, beer or cigarettes or whatever. I would rather be wrong and have them do that than not give and have someone go hungry. I mean that. I really, out of the two, you know, me not giving and them going hungry, or me giving and them doing something I would not want them to do with the money, I choose the second. I choose to give without expectation. The moment I put the dollar bills in their hand, it is their money, and they alone choose what to do with it. I might not like what they've done with it, but it's none of my business because it's theirs, okay? And Mandy writes, if you give in good faith, that will be rewarded. You should only give in good faith. You should never give out of necessity. You should never give out of guilt. Hey, is Sean still listening? Okay, Sean, you should never give out of guilt, okay? I'm talking to you. Yes, I do sometimes call people out. Yeah, you'll get over it, I hope. You should never give out of guilt. If you choose to give, it must be your free will choice, and it must be because you want to. Can't be because you're guilted. Can't be because you, someone's given you a story that you can't walk away from. It can't be because of any other reason other than I want to. All right, Mandy writes, in many ways, You don't expect things, but you can't give out. You can't outgive God. Well, again, if we allow the universe to make us whole, it's sort of like, you know, that good returns to you, but, you know, do bad and it returns threefold or something like that. I view this in the same way. If you give in love, it returns to you threefold. If you give in love, it returns to you threefold. On a completely unrelated note, did you guys see the article about the Stanford swimmer and the witches?
Yeah.
Oh, they did put a hex on him. I can't, I don't even know, like my mind can't even go there. I'm struggling with this. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Google Stanford swimmer Brock Turner and Coven of Witches Hex. It'll pull it right up for you. So now no one is going to argue that Brock Turner is the stand-up guy model citizen, right? But, and no one is going to even hold the argument that his sentence was fair because it wasn't. But there's a system that we work through when that happens. But this Coven of Witches sent out an alert to all of the other, and I do mean practicing witches. I'm not using that as in any slang form, okay? And together, they all got together on the same night. I think it might have been around the full moon. I can't quite remember. But they did binding spells and hexes on him. Now, this is surprising to me for a lot of reasons, because I do know a couple people who are Wiccans and a couple people who consider themselves practicing witches. And, I mean, these people wouldn't even smash a spider. I mean, they are the gentlest, kindest, most loving people I've ever met. And they truly believe in the laws of karma, and they believe that what you give out comes right back. They would never hex anyone. They would never even put a binding spell on anyone.
Did you read what the hex was? What
yes,
it,
yes, read it. And
it says, you will be impotent. It says, Brock Allen Turner, we hex you. You will be impotent. You will know constant pains of pine needles in your gut. Food will bring you no sustenance. In water, your lungs will fail you. Sleep will only bring nothing. Shame will be your meal. You will be justice.
They hexed him to be impotent, have the feeling of pine needles in his gut. Food will never satisify him.
No sustenance.
His lungs will fail him in water.
Nightmares.
And shame will be his mantle.
You can still break them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, going back to Marianne Williamson and that vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. And that says that the system that is created, the karmic system, will return all of that to him. And you do not need to go worrying about making sure someone is held karmically accountable. And that's what they did. What in the world? I know. It is. I read it, and it's really graphic, so go read the article. But they did blood spells, which is very – did you not read that part in there? They used blood, and they used hair, and they used binding spells to do that. It's very dark magic, yeah. Well, and the type of blood they use makes it even darker. So, but you can read that online. I'm not talking about that. Point being that the universe has a karmic system that takes care of this. We don't have to worry about, which is going and hexing him, because you don't ever get away with something like that, ever. The karma always returns it to you. It might not be in the same form, but it does always return it. Okay, so any questions on divine exchange? The universal law of divine exchange. You must be invested in it. You truly, truly must be. In whatever it is, okay, you must be invested. So if you're using an intuitive coach, if you're using a massage therapist, if you're using a fitness coach, for that matter, if you're using any profession where you expect to get a benefit, you must be willing to invest in yourself and work out a way in which you feel powerful through it. Okay, so no one's posting any questions. So I'm assuming nobody has any. on divine exchange, on anything else that we've talked about or being a light worker? Okay. Mandy wrote, after the witch segment, who would? I don't know. Like I said, what I was going to do tonight was very different than what we did because we went on about light workers and stuff, but I just felt it was necessary because of everything going on right now. You know? I love you too, Mandy. I love you too. Yes, that's the book that's normally sitting right here. Courtney just put the link up in the discussion group on Facebook. The Law of Divine Compensation on Work, Money, and Miracles. You know, you do have to be willing to believe that you're deserving and worthy of the amount of money that you have. If you don't, you will give it away or you will lose it. You will spend it. You will sabotage yourself with it. Okay? You must believe that you are worthy and deserving of the amount of money. So this also means you, if, you know, you have a great job that pays well, you must make sure that you feel really worthy and deserving of that job, because that's really important, that you feel worthy of that, of the job that you have. There's a lot with the Law of Divine Compensation. It's all about making sure exchanges are fair and of value. And if you are working in harmony with this law, then you feel good. You feel like you're worth what your pay is, and you feel like life supports you in that way. You know, the problem is when we start trying to compare and say, you know, well, I work so much harder than that person, you know, and that person makes the same amount as me. That's a disempowering thought there. We should never compare. And it's human nature to sometimes do it, but we have to work through it and we have to work past it. We have to continue to work with it. But knowing that you're worthy and deserving of prosperity, okay, that's, we'll close it up with the Law of Divine Compensation. Okay, so light worker, global alchemist, agent of change, instrument of peace, that is who you are. And I would like to ask you to, I'm going to try to put the meditation, the peace and empowerment meditation on my website. I was trying to before we went on the radio show and I couldn't get it to work. So technology and I are, we're not really hanging tight right now. We're kind of at odds, but I'm going to work on that.
Mercury retrograde.
I know. I swear I think that. But I'm going to try to get the meditation up there. If you, you know, or you can go back through Blog Talk and listen to it. But try to hold that vibration of peace for this planet. Try to hold the vibration of peace, the vibration of love. If you are a star person, a star seed on this planet, aside from everything else going on, this is the number one reason that you are here, to assist in the ascension of this planet. That's why you are here, okay? And when you do that, you are living in harmony with the most primary goal for this incarnation, to assist in the ascension of this planet. Hold the vision of healing and hold the vision of peace. Some days it'll be easy and some days it'll be hard. On the hard days, it's far more important than on the easy days. Today is a very difficult day to hold peace. It's a very difficult day to hold healing. Everywhere we look, we're reminded of tragedy. Therefore, days like this are critical that we remember who we are and why we're here. One of the things that the angels have been saying for a while, because I've been asking for guidance about the whole political thing, and there's no doubt, if you know me at all, you know I'm Bernie's girl. I've always been Bernie's girl. Nothing will change that. I am completely Bernie's girl. Bernie Sanders is my guru. Everything that man says, I agree with completely. As a star person, as an incarnate angel energy type, I completely agree with him because he sees past the illusions and he sees God in everybody, and I completely agree. What the angels say is that sometimes in order to go forward, it's like throwing a baseball. You have to take your arm back in the opposite direction of where you want the ball to go. That then gives you the ability to build up speed and momentum for going forward in the right direction. They say that's where we are right now. It feels so backwards because we're being pulled backwards. But when it's time, that backwards momentum will actually propel us forward with greater speed and greater velocity. And so this will benefit us. If nothing else, it'll help us see the kind of world that we want in contrast to the one that we don't. And I believe that. I believe the angels. They don't lie. You know, I might not always like what they have to say. But, yes, that was a funny example. People get shocked all the time when I say I argue with angels. But you've got to know that there's so much in my head, it's like I'm arguing with myself. I mean, it's to that point now. It feels like they're part of me and my consciousness. And so I did three clearings today. I did two houses and a medical clinic. And this is not easy stuff. So I was getting a little tired after the two houses, and I was driving to the medical clinic. And I was like, you need to turn there. And I went, oh, no, I don't want a Sonic drink. That's where I was supposed to turn. And I drove past, and I went, not for Sonic. That was the road. Oh, God, I did. I drove right past the road. But when they said turn here, I looked at the Sonic, and I was like, I don't need a Sonic drink. I'm actually good, thank you. And it wasn't Sonic at all. They were telling me where to turn to go to the medical office. I just wasn't listening, and I argued with angels because that's what I do. Isn't that just hilarious?
Well, if you can.
I mean, at this point, they're always in my head. So it's like arguing with myself sometimes, mm-hmm. even though they're not, it's not me. It's loving great beings that for some reason, my instinct is to argue with them, which I just find hilarious sometimes. Okay. And if I sound tired, guys, it's because I am. I'm exhausted. Today was a very long day, and I am ready for it to be over with because I haven't seen last night's Outlander yet, and I need to see it. Okay, Courtney's over here making the hubba hubba. That must mean it was good. Okay. Yes. Okay. So what I want to do for next week. Because we had to do light working this week, and we had to do all this holding a vibration for healing this week, I want to move into spiritual gifts next week. Now, if you did the Target Prosperity class with me, we did some of this in Target Prosperity 2016. So some of this will be a great refresher for those of you that took the last class with me. For those of you that this is your first class with me, you'll be hearing some of this for the first time. And this was actually what we were going to do tonight before the light working stuff came in. Spiritual gifts, they're actually given to us in the New Testament. And they're given to us from the Apostle Paul. And we can find scripture basis for spiritual gifts. So we're going to go over them, we're going to discuss them, and we're going to really start to make sense of what it means. We'll go over everything from clairvoyance to clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance, what it means to be a miracle worker, what it means to be to be able to give prophecy messages. It's all in there. So that's what I want to do next time. I want to hit on spiritual gifts. I want to hit on the scripture basis for them. In Christ said in John 14:12, all these miracles that I'm doing, you will do these, and you will do even greater works than these, because it's time for me to return to my Father. And so we have a strong foundation of spiritual gifts in Christ consciousness. And it's through that connection that we can truly grow our gifts and become deeply connected to spirit to the point where you're so connected, you will actually argue with angels. Okay. All right, guys. So what I want to do to close is I recorded a lot today at Morningstar. I was kind of on a recording kick, but I recorded the chant, and it's one of my favorite, and it's called Listen, Listen, Listen. And I want to play it as we go and just really think about the words of this. And hopefully I'll have this one on my website as well pretty soon, but I'll see you next week, same time, same place. And if you want to make a donation to cover the expenses for the radio streaming or any of the expenses associated with it, you may do so through PayPal or by leaving a payment at my office. Let me know if you need that address. Thank you. Have a fantastic week, and namaste. Yeah.
Thank you.